and sponsors over at Halo Breast Care Center. And Halo Diagnostics, continuing to change the way patients experience healthcare, now offering a full suite of MRI imaging services, includes authorizations for service and quick turnaround times for scheduling and results. Halo Breast Care Center and Halo Diagnostics, the trusted name in advanced medical imaging for our community, located at 1720 Esplanade, right here in Chico. Oh, all right. Stepman Brett, are you ready?
Yeah.
My real Italian friend, are you ready?
Si, signore.
All right. Turn me up. Let's start the show.
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We're talking about practice. We're talking about practice, man.
That's right.
Oh, goodness.
You know the drill. We are talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. I am your co-host, Gerald Gilbert. Joining me, my good friend, the reliable, the ringer, the real Italian, Will Tomasini.
Hey, talk to me nicely. Don't talk to me at all. What's up, everyone?
Appreciate you being here.
Yeah, of course, man.
We could always... I love that we could always just call you, like we're making a playoff push. We need like that buyout clause. We call up Will Tomasini.
I'm like Andre Iguodala for the Warriors.
Right? You are. When you come in, we win chips.
Solid. Solid call-in. Every time.
Yeah. We also, that's Statman Brad. Everybody, you know him.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Appreciate the enthusiasm.
It was a lackluster introduction. I'm going to give you a lackluster yeah.
All right. That's fine. We're going to start a new segment today, which I cannot wait to see how horrifically bad it goes. Brad's useless stats on the way. We'll get to that in a little bit. Why are you looking at me like that?
Well, I mean, like, I feel like these are, like, decent stats still. Like, it's, right, they're still useless, but I feel like they're decent stats.
Okay, well, we'll be the judge of that, and so will the audience. Sound good?
I feel like you're biased, though.
Well, yeah, I root for you to do... Poorly,
yes. Yeah. You know, but at least we have Will here, yeah. Like, not part of the actual, like, the mainstay crew. So hopefully he'll give me some, like, a little bit of a...
He's bipartisan.
Yeah, maybe a little bit bipartisan, yeah.
Yeah, I root for everyone to do well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There you go.
You have, like, what, 8-9 Braves in the All-Star game tonight?
So I saw a thing today that were like, there's three teams.
Yep.
AL, the NL, and then the Atlanta Braves, because they sent so many people to the All-Star game.
Like what, 10 coaches and like six players?
Yeah, something like that.
Ridiculous.
Are you going to hijack the show to talk about the All-Star game? Because I honestly could care less. I couldn't care less.
I thought you guys cared a lot about baseball since I wasn't watching.
I've never cared about the base or the All-Star game in baseball. I used to care about the home run derby.
Yeah, the home run derby is actually pretty legit.
It used to be good. It's trash now.
Well, I don't. There's no stars anymore, right?
Like, no. There's no steroids anymore. That's the one you're looking for.
That's the S word. That's the S word that you wanted.
You know, because when McGuire was hitting them into another stratosphere and facing off against Sosa, that
was awesome.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
That was the home run derby we needed.
Yeah,
it's what we need now.
Yeah,
the days of steroids. What a great time.
I feel like we should designate, like, one every, like, 5 years, guys we just keep pumping in steroids into.
Like, all right, you have this window, and you guys can get jacked for a year, but then come back to reality.
Yes, exactly. But you get paid like, handily, but then we all get to watch you do your thing. But you have to participate in certain things.
Like the home run derby.
Home run derby, of course, yes.
So what, they're like you get like 12 folks or whatever and be like, hey, if you guys want to do it, man.
How does this work? Does every team get a designated steroid user, or how does this work?
Actually, you know what? Yes, there are 32.
Actually, you know what? You haven't thought this out at all, have you? You're just saying words. You're just filling time, aren't you?
No, I feel like this is an idea that just popped into my head right now, and we're like...
Yes, we're spitballing.
We're spitballing right now, and I like this idea.
So instead of the designated hitter, you have the designated steroid guy?
Yes.
All right.
There you go.
Okay.
The DS.
I could get behind this.
Every team gets
DSG,
one.
The DSG, yeah.
Yeah.
You get a designated steroid guy. I could actually get behind this.
Yes.
I like where this
is headed.
He comes
up, he's like, oh, man, he's going to mash.
but also, the pitchers have to pitch them. There's no intentional walking.
Okay, I'm into that.
You can't Barry Bonds it and have like 200 walks per team for one player. Exactly.
Steroid guy.
Yeah.
Like, DSG.
If you walk them, they get two bags.
Pay attention.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because you really...
Okay. Like, I didn't know today was going to be the Let's Fix Baseball.
Yes, wow. We're fixing
but
it.
We're here. Let's
so not only
it.
Every team has a steroid user, if you walk them... They get two bags.
Okay.
So if you try to walk a guy bases loaded, guess what?
You can't,
two run score.
You cannot walk the designated steroid guy.
Yes, cannot walk designated. Well, I mean, you can. It's just the punishment is two bags.
Two bags.
Yes.
Got you. I like it.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good, man.
Yeah, I like where we're headed.
That's not bad. Yeah.
Trampolines on the warning track? Are we going to do that too?
I'm still down for that.
Yeah.
Because I kind of like the hill and Houston. I know very few people did, but I would like the trampoline better.
Magical at bats? No, instead of magical at bats in extra innings, designated steroid guy.
He comes in.
So wait, he can come in whenever the team wants him.
If you go into extras,
yes,
your team,
yes,
can use your DSG.
And he can
whenever
move him up.
He could be leadoff.
Yep,
he could bat cleanup wherever you want him. You get to decide. You can put the DSG anywhere in your lineup.
So like out of the three outs that you technically would get in the extra innings, say your first, second, and third hitter coming up, where your DSG is like number seven in your lineup, you're like, I'm gonna take out the third hitter, and then he's gonna be that.
You can put the
DSG.
Yeah. Now, do you switch the three and the seven then at that point,
no,
or is it like
the three just sits?
Yeah.
The seven is a wild card.
Yeah. Okay. So the DSG comes in. Hits at the three spot, but when he comes back up at the seventh, he can hit again, correct?
1,000%.
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to clarify that.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I like this idea so much. Yeah. This is a great
idea.
You're
welcome, Rob Manfred.
I don't want the runner at second. I want the DSG rule.
To bat whenever.
Yes.
Yeah. This is good.
I like where we're headed.
Yeah.
We fixed baseball right there, boys.
Trampolines.
Steroid users.
Hold on. Stay with me.
Okay.
Trampolines on the winning track. A moat right behind the wall. So if you bounce over the wall right into the water, maybe two alligators patrolling or bull sharks, something like that.
I would take an alligator more than a bull shark.
I think we all would. I'm just saying they're out there, so there's a little bit of danger. So there's risk with your reward.
To God they're not in your area when you do splash in.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know what to do with that.
The alligators aren't in that area that you dive into if you go over.
I got to say, I thought your useless stats was going to be bad. I would say this is one of the worst segments we've had in a while.
And you engaged in this.
I have thoroughly enjoyed it. All right. let's keep it moving. I did want to open, but now we've gone past that. We talked a lot about college football realignment. Well, college sports realignment. Conference realignment? Conference realignment.
Conference realignment.
What do you have for me? What are you laughing about?
Oh, I was just... I'm having a good time right now. It's a good opening segment. I'm giggly.
Wasn't a good opening segment, but
for me it was.
It. Okay.
For me it was.
Can I get back to my point now?
No. I mean, it's fine, yeah.
All right.
Why not?
We started last week talking about conference realignment. And I just wanted to kind of mention... In general, what I realize is I sounded so old. Like, oh, what about tradition?
Oh,
you
nice
know?
You threw that out there.
Oh, yeah. It was just like, well, I mean, because we are losing some rivalries. And what I realize is the money's getting so big across sports that tradition doesn't really matter.
It's out the window.
Except in the Euro Super League, that is the last time that anyone cared about tradition. And it was really just PR. Because that got brought up and got shot down in the matter of a week, right?
Yeah.
But other than that, we've had conference realignment. We have the LIV Tour now. We have in-season tournament in the NBA for the first time, or at least on the board. The Board of Governors are meeting.
I was going to say that, actually didn't get passed, did it?
It didn't.
I didn't see it.
I think it was being discussed today.
Yeah, it was going to be discussed. I didn't see any passing of it. I'll check it out right now.
I don't think it's been passed, but I know it's a conversation they're having. They're going to figure out something because the regular season has been rendered meaningless in the NBA, and that's not good.
No, because I mean, honestly, I think it's probably one of the best live sports to see.
Yes,
it's an incredible physical specimen what they can do, man. But you can just tell year after year after year after year, and it's like, oh, I'm gonna sit this one out. I'm gonna sit this one out. I'm gonna sit this one out, and it's just like it gets old, man. Like it makes me not want to watch basketball games on TV. God forbid, like what if you went, man, and like you know. Whatever, yeah. You paid hundreds of dollars for that. So yeah,
we were talking about the exorbitant prices of NBA tickets nowadays. Then to not be able to guarantee you're going to go see a superstar,
man.
Like if I'm paying to see the Lakers and LeBron sitting, and I just paid $400-$600 to go to a Kings game.
Arena, boys. Nice arena, but yeah. The product ain't there.
No, I'm going to be furious, and it's. You know, I mean, we've just seen NBA players for some time now. I think the Spurs were the first ones to kind of fess up to this and make this rotation trendy mm-hmm. when they were just like, yeah, we're sitting our guys for rest.
But I also feel like, okay, correct me if I'm wrong. When the Spurs did that, and I agree, I think they were the first ones to really like do that rotational thing. They had like four dudes that they've been holding on to for like the better part of a decade, if not more, and had some miles on them.
Yeah.
So I feel like when they did it, did they take advantage of it? For sure. But I also think like they had some – they actually put thought into it. Like, okay, they calculated which games they could probably sit them and possibly still win and stuff like that to actually push them into the playoffs. And I mean, what they got? Like four, five, right? Five.
They got five, I believe. Yeah, five. Right? Timmy has five rings.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got five. So, I mean, it worked for them, but then –
Well, they made it popular. It was never even a thing before they did it. And the reason it was such a big deal when they did it is, one, it was a nationally televised game. I believe it was on TNT. And when they did it, just resting guys wasn't a thing. It wasn't called that, right?
No.
Like, oh, there's a hammy. There's some
sore
type of
lower
injury.
Back.
Yeah, but you didn't just sit for rest. Yes, sir.
So real quick on that tournament in season for the NBA – what they're planning to do is all 30 teams, which looks to be like a round robin beforehand that brings in eight teams entering a single elimination round, determining the winner with the final four games occurring in a neutral site, with the team that wins it all, a potential of $1 million per player in prize money.
That's pretty cool.
Which would be very, very big for a lot of the guys that aren't making the big money. So you have about three or four guys that really wouldn't impact, but the rest of the 15 players on the team, it would make a difference.
$1 million.
A million dollars.
But for Curry, for LeBron, for those type of guys.
$1 million, I'm telling you.
Even if you're taking home $42 million a year, which is astronomically stupid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you're like, hey, I went and played a tournament inside the year while I'm getting paid for what I'm working for and got a cool milli on top of it.
Yeah.
Go get yourself another beach house or something.
Yeah. $1 million, $1 million. People are going to get hyped for that.
I mean, yeah, honestly, this would be only like a week and a half max of like break away from the season. Because the eight teams, that takes 3 days right there. The round robin is going to take maybe 4-5 days right there. So you have 8 or 9 days total.
Yeah, no, I think the NBA needs to do something. The NBA, the regular season product has been pretty whack. Mm-hmm. And I am a hardcore hoops head, and I've canceled my subscription to League Pass last year because I'm like,
too, man. Me too.
There's just like there's a lot of hoop, and if you're not going to start your stars, I don't. Like, I have no business watching the Pelicans versus the Trailblazers if Dame and Zion aren't playing. Like, give me a break. Yeah. And so I literally canceled my subscription this year because I was like, man, I don't get paid enough to do this show to justify paying $30 a month to watch these games anymore.
Yeah, and this just goes back to exactly what we're saying. Like, what's the point? And that's hurt the NBA tremendously. And they know it, and they're recognizing, they're trying to figure something else out. You know what I mean?
And I'd say the perfect spot for this to be would be after New Year's Eve or New Year's, after all the championship games for college football, the week after that would be the perfect time for it. Because you look mid-January to middle of February, there's really nothing exciting going on. You have the NCAA playoffs for the conferences going on mid-February going into March.
Yeah,
the
NFL
for March
playoffs,
back.
Bro.
Yeah, so, he's
but,
right
no, I'm
about
talking
that.
About, I'm talking about in middle of January. You only have that 2 days a week, though.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
You can plan around that, but you only have 2 days a week that you're really caring about is Saturday and Sunday for the NFL playoffs.
No, that's
that could be your break. Is you give them a break
like
Saturday,
Wednesday,
Sunday,
Thursday, Friday type thing. Or
yeah,
something.
That type of
you
thing.
You could do that.
Yeah, and if you're doing a neutral site where you have your brackets or your pools in the same city, you can get that done within 4 or 5 days. Yeah. Then take your break and then go into your single elimination round.
Well, they got to figure out something because they're just not going to shorten the season without giving these owners some perks, right? The owners aren't just going to give back money, but they can't continue to proceed as has been the last few years because, I mean, serious hoop heads like myself have lost interest in the regular season. And that's a big problem for the NBA because 100%. You need the regular season. You need those TV rights. You need people. You need the gate.
Yeah, that's your bread and butter.
Yeah. So if you don't. Yeah. Anyway, let's stop fixing basketball. No, we'll probably get back to it. But I just wanted to talk to you guys about this NBA offseason because I thought it has been incredibly interesting while being boring all at the same time. What I mean by that is the trade for Rudy Gobert was interesting in the fact that the Timberwolves gave up a ton for that, but it's not really a difference maker either way. Like maybe Utah turns one of those picks into Wembanyama next year. Who knows?
Sure, sure.
Maybe, or maybe they just like go through the Sixers route and go through, become the process and trade off Donovan Mitchell and get all these picks and get a couple All Stars and really still we're still trying to figure Philly out, right?
So 100, yeah. They got what? 3 first rounders and 2 players.
I thought they
got
5. I'm pretty sure they got
for Gobert
5 total picks. I think 2 of them are swaps, though.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I think it was 3 first rounders and 2 first round swaps. I could be totally
wrong.
And
then like Beverly and somebody else.
Yeah. Can you imagine Pat Bev in Utah?
So you're ready for this?
Yeah.
So the Jazz receive this. So Timberwolves receive Gobert. That's already it. Jazz receive Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverly, Leonardo Bellarmo, Walker Kessler, Jared Vanderbilt, 2023 first-round pick, 2025 first-round pick, 2026 pick swap, 2027 first-round pick, and 2029 first-round pick.
So, wow.
Five
picks.
Four picks that they received. One was a swap. So five total, but one was a swap. So
classic new owner move. Whenever you get a new owner.
Isn't that a new GM, not an owner?
No,
it's a new owner.
New owner?
Alex Rodriguez is part of that.
Okay.
That team. Go ahead.
You got to give it to Danny Ainge, though, man. Like, this dude is, like, setting the bar for this stuff. Like, when he did that with going back to like what we were saying earlier with the Spurs being the first ones to sit people down, Danny Ainge is the first one to create a super team. You know, he's the one that brought Ray Allen and the big ticket to Paul Pierce and had Rondo and Perkins and stuff like that. Yep. After that, check out the Heat, and then everybody else started loading up stuff like that.
Right.
It's been a week. Did we mention Danny Ange's BYU?
Yes, we did.
I just want to make sure.
Welcome to last week's show.
Yeah, just want to make sure.
And then he's smart enough to get rid of the guys when they were done, man. And he sent them to Brooklyn for a king's ransom, you know, and then turned that into Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart and all these guys. And then he's like, all right, cool, you guys got it, left, you know, went to Utah and was just like, I'm going to give you a guy who will get you 11 points and 15 rebounds, but you're going to give me everything.
Yep.
Deal. You know, so, like, it just makes you – it's like how you're saying, like, it's been boring, but it's also been exciting because it's just like, okay, if this is what Gobert's getting, what is Mitchell going to get?
Right.
What is – Kevin Durant, which I don't think he's going to go anywhere, but, like, what is that going to look like? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what Gobert is going to fetch. And Danny Ainge, listen, if you're a new ownership, you just block his number. Stop answering that phone call. What are we doing? We've seen this before. What was it? What was the guy's name? The Vladimir? I forgot his name. The former owner of the Nets. The second he bought the team.
Russian dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it started with a P. Man, I am struggling. The second he bought that team, Danny Ainge called him up. Was like, hey, do you want an aging Paul Pierce? Do you want an aging KG? Speaking of Paul Pierce, what the hell was he doing those push-ups over the weekend?
Thank you.
He's the worst. I cannot stand him. Paul Pierce. Yes, sir.
So this is also Danny Ainge's first offseason, just so you guys know. So I wasn't wrong. He was hired in like late December by the Utah Jazz of 2021.
What do you mean his first offseason?
Yeah. This is his first offseason. Danny Ainge for the Jazz, yes.
Oh, for the Jazz.
For the Jazz, yes.
Yeah, I know that.
No one argued that.
Yeah.
Well, I said, isn't Danny Ainge new to the Jazz? And you said no.
Oh, I thought you were saying Minnesota.
Well, I thought you were talking about BYU. Yeah.
No, sorry. Okay. I was like, wait, I thought it was right here. All right. Well, I'm going to take a break.
All right. Excellent. See you later. Great job, as always. Thank you for bringing it, Brad. We really, really appreciate it around here. I can't wait for that segment, Brad's Useless Stats, Statman Brad's Useless Stats. I'm sure it's going to be great. I just have no doubts that it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be numerical.
That it will be, I think. I did want to. So we were kind of talking about this earlier in not so specific terms, but we're talking about these players resting. The thing I'm curious about is with all the recent player movement, we talk about legacy with these players way too soon.
Agreed.
But you do see it matter when you see these players, some of these players that want to be close to their teams. Post career, so you, like a Zoe, he's been with Miami as far back as I can remember. Yeah. Post career,
yeah,
he's just been, he's been a Heat. I don't even know what he does there.
I know he's some sort of coach, probably a center.
I think he's in
a,
the front office or
somewhere around there.
But he's there. He's just family. He's
yeah,
you know what I mean. For Dirk Nowitzki, same thing.
Sure. Yeah,
in Dallas, he's just around the team all the time, right? Like, and you see some of these players who have a legacy with their team. Tim Duncan, he was an assistant coach for...
Yeah, for a little while. And then I think he only did it for like a season or two. But yeah, he was out there. The same thing.
It's got to be hard coaching when you're that good.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, why can't you're like, be better?
Hit it off the glass.
Yeah.
How many times do I have to tell you this?
Yeah, 21-footer touch off the glass. I just hit a fadeaway as a 7-1 player. Why can't you do that, you idiot?
Greg, I can't do this anymore. They don't understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. But I was thinking about this the other day just because I do find it interesting that some of the best players we've ever seen, what is their home going to be? Like, you might see LeBron show up to a jersey retirement from here and there in Cleveland. But, you know, he's worn three different jerseys so far.
I know.
Four, really, his two stints with the Cavs. You look at a KD. He's been on three different teams, fourth.
That one will be hard, man.
If he was to get inducted to the Hall of Fame, does he go in as a Warrior?
I bet you, well, depending on what happens on his career, I bet you that would be...
We still have time, and I hate the legacy thing, but point being is these players move around. Chris Paul's been on how many different franchises now?
Keep count. At least five, right?
Yeah, and this just didn't really happen back in the day. You usually... And I, oh God, we're sounding like that old show again. But you just.
The legacy.
Legacy. Building. You stick with one team. You stick it up. You stick it out through the highs, the lows. You stick. God, we sound old. I want to move on. I'm boring myself with this conversation.
Technically, Chris Paul had six just because of the New Orleans.
Charlotte.
Yeah. Orleans, right?
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm good off talking legacy anymore. I will say, if you are a Twitter hater on LeBron and then he draws 42 on your head, what great revenge. And I'm sure LeBron didn't even know about that. Or if he did, it was awesome. LeBron pulls up to the Drew League this weekend, puts 42 on a dude who tweeted out a bunch of dumb things about LeBron, calling him not clutch and all these other things.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. And don't you guys think, this is an idea I have, across sports, every athlete should be able to, for a year, stack up all their haters on social media and be able to play them one-on-one and whatever their position is. So let's say they're a wide receiver. You have to cover them one-on-one, just one route, and understand how good these people are.
Yeah.
Because I think we forget this all the time, how good these players actually are. And then you see LeBron at the Drew League just giving these dudes work, not even hitting a three, just dunking, getting in the lane, hitting fadeaways, whatever he wants. And you're reminded, oh, yeah, these dudes are really, really good.
Yeah, like, I mean, each team has, what, like 10, 12 players at most?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So just think about that. Mathematically speaking, dude.
On the Drew League?
No, like in NBA 15. In general and stuff like that. Each 15. They carry 15?
15, yeah.
Okay.
They only have 12 in the NBA.
I thought they were...
Either way, but like if you just stop there and look at it, you know what I mean? Like, this dude is that good. There's only 300 some odd players or whatever it is, you know, mathematically speaking, on there, and he's beasting on all of them. And then there's a whole other league, a G League, because you are not even good enough to sit on the bench.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's how good these dudes are.
So it is 15. Offseason's 20.
Wow.
There's 15 players active?
Active. And then they can carry 20 on the offseason.
That's way more than what I expected.
Same. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's kind of like the NBA or the MLB 26.
Now I'm looking forward to your useless stats segment.
I'm sure you have way too high of hopes now.
Yeah, no, I'm sure you'll disappoint me.
Story of my life.
Yeah, well, which is kind of the beauty in your role here. Even when you're bad, you're great. When you're good,
are you trying to butter me up, sir?
Like a biscuit.
Yep. All right, let's move on. Were you guys with me on the... Players should be able to call out.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. 100%.
It's like, hey, you guys.
But I also want it televised. Not just that it happens, I want it televised.
Because I am one of those haters.
I would buy whatever subscription it takes to watch that.
Yeah,
Jason Tatum and Desmond Bane would be playing me 1-on-1 this year. Guaranteed.
Not just that, but it would also be.
Jason Tatum for about 6 months on this show.
Pool. You'd also be facing Pool.
That's fair.
Jordan Poole, yeah.
No, that's totally fair.
You guys remember the show Pros versus Athletes? Or Pros versus Amateurs or something like that?
Pros Joes,
that's it.
Oh, Pros Joes. Yeah.
I would love to see that come back.
Yeah I would like to see that as well. But now, instead of signing up for it, these players just get to pick at their leisure.
One.
Yo, I want to go against this Adrian 4289, who on January 9th said, KD... What a baby. Him. I get him. I get this guy. Like, you just get to go through your menchies and call dudes out.
Cause like,
and gals.
You're right, though. Like, people don't know how talented these folks are. Remember, like, what was it? Like, 6-7 years ago when everyone's talking trash on Brian Scalabrine because he was this big, goofy white dude. And then he went out to, like, New York and just schooled people.
Yeah.
I mean, was lights out, couldn't miss a three, like just balling on everyone. I was like, and this guy sits the bench, man. He plays like 2 minutes a game.
Yeah.
I would love to see the Taurasi and Bird, like haters in the WNBA, go against them. Seeing guys just get absolutely balled up.
Yeah.
That would be beautiful.
I used to be that guy and be like, oh, no girls getting buckets on me. Like, those girls would get.
Yeah, exactly. These type of guys, I would love to see that.
They would kill me. They would. These women would absolutely destroy me.
Finch, she can't pitch worth garbage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she'd strike me out for sure. But this is what I'm saying. I think it would be a beautiful thing if these players could call people out.
Yes.
I once got a chance to – I played against a couple NBA players, and Justin Love, you probably don't remember his name, but he played for the Raptors. I don't even know if he made the team. So that's like, you know – He was like in their spring league. Casey Jacobson, another guy I got to play with. These dudes came against a gym full of dudes who thought they were ballers and just put in work. And it was so easy. Casey Jacobson played for Stanford. I think he played for the Suns for a minute. That dude came out and just got buckets. It was unbelievable. And I mean, one of the quickest releases I've ever seen.
I mean, the guy you're talking about, Justin Love, he actually played in the Euro Cup and... balled out.
When was this?
This is back in 04, 05, 07.
That sounds about right.
20 points, 12 points, 17 points in the Euro Cup.
Yeah, that dude came out and like you know, everyone's like, oh, yeah, he sniffed around the NBA for a minute. I know he was on the Summer League for the Raptors or something like that.
But still, those European teams are
and
so good.
And my man came out and was just getting the easiest bucket. Everything came easy to this dude.
Yeah.
You know, and you think, like, you watch it on TV, and because they're playing other amazing talent, you're like, all right. Like, how good are you really? Let these dudes play against guys who work at UPS during the day. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a different beast. You know what I'm saying? Like,
100%.
100%.
And I think we lose perspective on that. So I just think once a year we should have the humble games. And these world-class athletes get a call out. You know, their 10 biggest haters from the past year. Like, can you imagine Skip Bayless and LeBron getting to play to 5 one-on-one or play to 11? Like, that'd be amazing. Now, obviously, the athletes have everything to lose, but they're never going to lose.
No,
they're just going to put in work against these guys.
Going to jump over you.
Yes.
Like, you'd hope.
Dude.
Watch this one guy that actually calls out an NBA player.
I'd like to see
get a contract.
Kyrie against Stephen A. Smith.
Oh my god, he would give him buckets. He would give him so many buckets. It'd be a problem. It'd be sad to watch. All right, do we have anything on hoops? Anything else on hoops? Are we good? We can move on.
We're good.
We can move on. Yeah. We're all good there. All right, let's do it. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, People Powered Community Radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. We are talking about practice. Your boy Jarrell, Will Tomasini, Statman Brad in the building. Rudy couldn't make it. He's currently ducking his bookie. Derek is on a staycation of sorts. Shout out to our boys.
Love you,
buddies. Hope y'all are doing all right. Oh, man.
Surviving.
Thankfully, we're going to get Derek's sister on the phone here shortly. I should never introduce her as that anymore. She's elevated so much beyond Derek's sister.
Yeah, that's fair.
Typically the best part of the show every week. So we're going to get our foreign correspondent, Aaron, on the show here shortly. We're going to talk about the Open this past weekend. Some other stuff. I don't know. Probably throw her a couple curveballs because that's the time of year it is. It's July. It's and if you're like, season. Yo, why don't you have all these segments? Because it's July. We're just spitballing.
Yeah.
We already fixed baseball. We halfway fixed basketball this year.
It's true.
Or this episode. You're welcome, everybody. We want to give a shout-out to you again for rocking with us and the nonsense it is we do around here. Trying to keep it light today. We also want to give a shout-out to our friends over at Chico Velo. Supporting bicycle or... See this again. Shout out to our friends over at Chico Velo. Supporting bicycling, education, and advocacy since 1980. How is the one word that I've messed up there, bicycling? I'm sorry, Chico Velo. You deserve better, and I'll give you better. Chico Velo encourages you to ride your bicycle and park it safely at their bike valet whenever available at the Thursday Night Market and Saturday Farmers Market. For more information, visit ChicoVelo.org. You can also find them on Facebook. Shout out to Chico Velo. Shout out to Halo Breast Care Center. We appreciate your support. Most importantly, shout out to you, our listener, for rocking with us and just, like, you know, putting up with this. It can't be easy.
You know, I was actually talking to someone at my work today.
Mm-hmm.
And I was mentioning the show and you, and she's like, oh, I know exactly that. I listen to it every week. I was like,
no kidding.
So when you asked me to tell me to come here, I was like, well, I'm going to relay the message. So shout out, Lorna Such.
Yo, shout out. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
right on. Yeah, I ran into a friend of ours this weekend. Or a friend of the station's. I don't know if I should shout him out by name. So he was working the KZFR booth. So you could put two and two together if you are at the farmer's market. Community radio, you know what I mean? Our Statman Brad is carrying on like a 5-minute conversation with our foreign correspondent. As if the microphones can't pick you up, dude. This is a radio show.
Chatty Cathy over here.
Yeah, like, You have your number. Just text her after the show, bro.
How was your weekend? Oh,
everything
was
good? What are you up to?
What's the weather like?
How's
Nate,
this triple
dude? Digits here?
Yeah, you like golf? Me too. What are we doing? A radio show, bro.
What's for dinner?
I don't even remember what I was talking to. Oh, I was talking to our boy. He's working the KZFR booth, and he said he loves the show, and he loves that we meander away from sports from time to time. But we're not going to do that right now because we're going to bring on a foreign correspondent now that Brad is finally done talking to her. You understand half the time when you have Aaron on the line, I'm just filling so you could put Aaron on the show and we can...
Well, no. Usually it's Derek.
The conversation that you guys are having off air would probably be good content on air.
Aaron, do you want to have our conversation? Well, I mean, I feel like some of it's like also PG-13.
Today in Brad's event, I was just giving him a rundown on the Home Run Derby, and you don't want that, so
okay,
we'll
fair
skip
enough.
That.
No, I do appreciate that, but now that you're here, let's get a rundown on the Home Run Derby.
The guy that started off was Julio Rodriguez, and he killed it. I mean, 30 home runs and, like,
wow.
Deep. Like
30?
We can't be there at Dodger Stadium. Yeah, just deep, deep. Corey Seager went next, very disappointing. And then everyone after that has been kind of disappointing. Pete Alonso did look good, though.
Just about everything's been disappointing about Seager since he left your Dodgers, huh?
Yeah, so I'm not upset about that. You know, he's gone. He's not doing great. I don't really care.
Did it frustrate you watching the highlights from the celebrity game yesterday where Hunter Pence hit that absolute bomb and then ripped off his Dodgers Nationals jersey to show the San Francisco black and orange underneath?
You know what? I never watch a celebrity game. I can't.
Hey, fair enough.
The only good thing about All-Star Weekend is the Home Run Derby.
Yes, agreed.
Agreed.
So,
yeah, no, totally agreed.
Hunter Pence burns in hell. That's what I hope.
Whoa.
After hearing that, he would disrespect
Whoa,
us like that.
What?
On our home turf.
Wow. I mean, you kind of have to.
I mean, that. Wow.
Yeah. If Clayton Kershaw ever did anything cool in...
You would have much worked on him if he did that to you.
That hurt.
Let's talk about the Open. What a weird tournament this weekend. Can you give the folks a quick recap of what they missed out on? Because it was... Surprise winner, to say the least.
Very, very surprising. Cameron Smith of Australia won it all. He was looking good on days 2 and 3, but then Rory eagled. He holed out from hole 10 on Saturday, and from there it looked like this was his to lose. And unfortunately, he did lose it. But it was a combination of a couple things. Cameron Smith did play incredible on the back nine. I think he birdied 5 holes in a row on the back nine. But then Rory just fell apart. Rory missed 4 putts for birdie by a total of less than 6 inches. He just kept missing by just an inch or an inch and a half. So he should have had it. I sort of feel bad for him because it was at St. Andrews in Scotland. But it made for an exciting golf day. St. Andrews is a classic. It's a beautiful course.
Birthplace of golf,
right? It was great golf watching. Yeah.
Yeah,
so crazy. It was 150th. Like,
yeah, so it was a big one.
150.
A lot of tradition there. Shout out to Cam Smith because I thought the mullet was the exclusive domain of the white American male, and I did not know that it had gone international. So that was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, it's an impressive mullet for sure.
It really is.
The mullet is huge overseas.
Is it?
Huge. I can vouch that I have multiple Italian friends that have rocked the mullet hard.
Excuse my ignorance,
I was
guys.
Say,
sorry.
It seems white trashy to me, but
that's what
I
thought.
I've never agreed with it. I never said that. I was like, wow, you guys look great. But
I mean, most of these people are white, though, right? You know,
yeah.
So it's still white trash.
Well, how do you figure?
Yeah, there you go. Tell them. Let them know.
Yeah, they don't fall under that category.
No.
Yeah.
We don't have trailers and stuff.
That's trailer trash and white trash, there's a lot of overlap, difference. It's not 100%.
There's a difference.
Yeah, okay. There's definitely a difference.
For sure.
Minute.
For sure.
But it's minute. There. Yeah.
Yeah, you
it's
know, you're picking up what I'm putting down.
Yeah.
Aaron, you got anything else on the Open or you want to talk Tour de France?
Wait, what?
Tiger didn't make the cut.
So he's not back.
He's not in the Tour de France.
He's not back.
Did not even make the cut.
What about joke by you, Brad? Also, thank you for making that awkward.
It's only awkward if you make it awkward, bud.
You made it awkward.
No, I didn't make it awkward. You made it awkward.
Well, all right. Well, I can't argue that.
Can I just revel in the fact that Tiger did make the cut?
Yes. Really?
Yeah. No.
Yes.
Okay. Because I was gonna. I was gonna bring that up myself. How many people are left that like actually care if he's gonna do it or not, man? It was like that
John,
ship has
John,
sailed, man.
John.
The ship.
Actually, no.
Has
I would
sailed.
Say most golf fans because. I was listening to.
I just can't do it.
I was
anymore,
listening
man.
To golf on the radio. I was with someone else. It wasn't my call. and everyone was all they talked about the entire time was Tiger and how the gallery just was pulling for Tiger. And everyone just wanted to see Tiger do well. He is still this major draw in golf because he was something we haven't seen in a long time, which is an exciting golfer.
No, I understand that. It's just like. I mean, I don't
Aaron's
know. I
been
mean,
out like, on Tiger for at least 7 years.
Yeah,
now.
I mean, honestly, yeah, I just I can't sure. do it no more.
But I feel like even with like looking at it in a different perspective, like even when LeBron James is 7 years, 8 years out of his prime, if you hear that he's going to go play, aren't you going to go watch a little bit?
Yeah, okay, I shouldn't say that. I should say that how it is brought
I'm expecting
to your attention
not to do well.
By every like sportscast out there, ESPN, whatever else, golf yeah. talk, radio, and
how's
everything.
Talk,
they're like,
how's
they're
Tiger?
Like, oh, so this guy, whoever is number one in the world, will be like, great job. But Tiger Woods said he yeah. felt pretty good on Tuesday morning yeah. when he had breakfast. He might take it all. Like, no.
He's not, man. But it's like you're still going to watch just because he has the name. You're going to watch LeBron James. You're going to watch Tom Brady. You're going to watch these type of guys, even if they're 7 years out, if you find out that they're going to be doing exactly what they're doing.
Guys, can we just revel, as Aaron requested, in the fact that Tiger Woods
yes.
did not make the cut?
Yes.
John,
thank you.
Tiger
now,
is
listen,
not back.
I agree that he got a standing O when he came up the 18th. You know, give him that. I get that. But you're right. The hype for him, like, let it go, guys. Let it go. He is no longer the main attraction in golf.
It's not proportionate to his play on
exactly.
the
field.
Exactly.
No.
Let's talk Tour de France real quick because France, yeah. I didn't even know that was happening. So help us out here.
I don't think most people do. I just kind of wanted to mention it because it's one of those fun random sports. It's no longer fun since Lance Armstrong admitted he cheated. But I do love the Tour de France because the crashes are epic. You think a hockey fight is good? It doesn't compare to a Tour de France crash. It's just the best part about bicycling, and I truly enjoy it. They had a rest day today. Tomorrow is leg 16, and then the final leg will be on Sunday. And no Frenchman has won a stage yet, which I also find exciting.
No matter how great the crashes are, it will not beat Joe Biden falling off his bike. I don't know that there's any footage this year that will come out that will be better than Joe Biden falling off his bike. Did you see that clip?
It was impressive how he could just not put his foot down and
it was
put himself up.
So
I need to find
so
this.
Great.
You haven't seen this, Brad?
No, I have
if
not.
If you have not dude, seen it, I give you full
I've been
permission.
Under a rock.
Stop listening to this show right now and go to YouTube and look this up because it's incredible. Aaron, excellent as always. Wait. While we have you here, hold on. We got to unveil a new segment. We don't have a drop for this because Brad told me about his new segment about an hour and a half ago. Brad, when you're – well, after you're done watching Joe Biden fall off his bike –
how do you not know how to step off of a bike?
You ready to do?
Yes,
your new
I'm ready
segment.
To do my all segment.
Aaron,
okay.
You're going
to
be the judge of this because this was partly your idea, mainly your idea. Okay.
They gave him an ice cream cone afterwards.
Okay.
Like, here,
did
buddy,
they really?
This was entirely your idea, but Brad took it.
All right.
So this is Statman Brad's useless stats of the day.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. MJ actually had more 40-point games than he did. Fewer than 20-point games. He had 173 40-point games and 146 fewer than 20-point games.
That's crazy. That's a good stat.
Now, here's another
that's
one.
Okay,
that's
stat.
A good stat.
Thank
yeah,
you.
That was a
thank you.
Yeah, nice pool.
Fantastic.
These are stats that I can't really use because they're not really applicable, but I find them anyways. Also, There are only two players in NBA history that have over 70% winning percentage in the playoffs with a minimum of 100-point games. Draymond Green...
100 games played.
Or yes, 100 games played. Sorry. Draymond Green and Klay Thompson, 102-43 record.
Wow.
The next closest is Curry at 69.4%. He has 93-41 for his record. Let's go back some history here. MJ is 119-60. Bill Russell, 107-58. And Kobe Bryant, 135-85. All well under 70%.
That's a pretty good one, too.
That's a good stat.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
Side note, every time Steve Kerr has been a head coach and made the playoffs, he's made the finals.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He's 20, what is he, 23-2?
Yeah. Like, that's insane.
Yeah. Nuts. He's only lost twice, once to the Cavs and once to the Raptors.
Yeah. Oh.
That's just crazy.
Give us your immediate feedback from Statman Brad's useless stats of the day.
Those were solid, Brad.
You know,
those were solid.
Thank you.
Aaron. Yeah, I sort of hate myself, but as it turns out, not a bad segment to have. Yeah.
Let's go!
Nice.
All right, there you go. All right, we're going to hear about this all week. Aaron, excellent as always. We look forward to having you back on the show next week.
Thank you, Aaron.
Talk to you later, guys. Tiger's not back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tiger is not back.
Oh, big shout out to our foreign correspondent. As always, she always brings the heat. Love having her on the show. Man, she's been on the show for 5 years now.
Give or take, yeah. Thanks for the new segment, Aaron. I really appreciate it.
You actually came with some heat on those.
You know, I do my best whether or not I'm able to say it or not.
Yeah, those were good stats. Those were good stats. We appreciate it.
No guarantees, though.
Fair enough. Let's talk a little baseball real quick. Talking about stats, I heard an insane stat last week about Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani has the best slugging percentage against runner or an at-bat with runners in scoring position.
There you go.
He also has the highest slugging percentage with runners in scoring position.
Since 1974.
What?
Yeah.
So pitching and hitting.
Yeah.
Same stat. Good on both ends.
Dude, he's incredible stuff, man.
How come the Angels suck? They have Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani.
If only they had a good player on the other end of Ohtani, you know?
Oh, man.
They signed Rendon a couple years ago. They gave him $300 million, I feel like. I don't know. They paid him an astronomical number. Hasn't done anything since he's gone there. I feel like every year they go out and they sign someone or they trade for someone that's like a big name, big money kind of guy, and it never pans out for them, dude.
Yep.
Never pans out for them. Like, I remember they got Josh Hamilton from the Texas when he was going crazy, in a good way, playing baseball.
Yes,
and then he went to, like, L.A. and fell off the wagon, so that didn't work out. And then they, like, signed C.J. Wilson. They gave him a whole bunch
of
money. He wasn't able to pitch anything, dude.
C.J. Wilson, right? What a great pull.
I know, but, like, I think they gave him, like, $70 or $80 million, man.
Yeah, he had a crazy...
You know, they got Rendon, I know, a couple years ago. Yeah, they're just like, I don't know, man.
It,
like,
just doesn't work
out. It doesn't. Like, I don't get it. I don't know if it's because they're down there and they're in Anaheim and they're like, oh, there's better things to do than baseball.
They try to switch up the marketing to Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, which is a really, really dumb name.
I got another great stat. So since the firing of John Madden, which he went 27-29, they've only won 12 games since.
Oh. No.
Joe Madden?
Or sorry, Joe Madden. Did I say John? I meant Joe Madden.
Joe
Madden.
Confusing.
Yeah, Joe Madden.
So what's the record now?
It is...
Hold on. So give us... They've went what since the firing of Joe
Madden? So since the firing of Joe Madden, 12-24.
Oh, wow.
All right. So to be totally accurate here, since Joe Madden got a mohawk, the Angels have gone 12-24.
But remember, they never saw the mohawk.
True.
They never were inspired by the
correct.
Mohawk.
But since he got the mohawk, the Angels have gone
12-24. But if you saw it, it could have been different. I'm just saying. I'm on the side of Joe Madden here.
In a weird way, I agree with Brad, man, because everyone knows baseball, mad superstitious,
yeah,
dude.
That's true.
If you know, see them all,
he got that. He was coming in there to show the boys the support. Let's go do it. Blah, blah, blah. Boom. Doesn't make it in the clubhouse. Bad juju, dude.
Could this be the goat of the Angels? You fired somebody before they were able to see the Mohawk. The Mohawk is now the goat of the Angels.
The Angels aren't
by the way,
in the outfield,
for the people that don't know, the goat is part of the Cubs. Superstition of why they never won a World Series because
man, you're really bringing it today. You peaked. You peaked.
I thought I was going to peak at the beginning, but you know,
no, you peaked.
I'm glad I'm peaking near the end.
No,
you
peaked during your segment, which is where you want to peak. I just feel like yeah, you peaked. It's okay. It happens to the best of us. Usually,
who said I was going to keep going?
I guess you decided that. Sandy Alcantara, pitcher, absolute ace for the Marlins, has pitched more than doubled the amount of innings that Clayton Kershaw has this year and has a better ERA, but Clayton Kershaw is finally getting the start for the National League in the playoff or in the All-Star game. That's got to be because it's in Dodger Stadium.
It is. Yeah, it's the only reason why.
I don't see how it wouldn't be.
Okay.
Yeah. And plus, this is going to be probably his last All-Star appearance, period, because he's getting closer to the end of his career. And he's
pitched for a minute.
He's doing okay, but he's not going to be one of those top-end pitchers.
No, he's not going to be a Verlander. Like,
oh,
that guy's
no.
a freaking nature,
I can't
man.
Believe Verlander's still doing what
still
he's
does
doing.
So it's good. You know?
Insane.
I mean, and honestly, really, Scherzer, they were on the same team on the Detroit Tigers back in the day, man.
And
like,
the
they went to
Giants
the World Series.
Swept them.
You know? Yeah, for sure. I know. And I thought, look, I was one of the people who was like, there's no way you're going to be able to keep up with that pitching. You know?
Yeah.
But,
no,
kudos,
I totally agree.
And, yeah, go ahead.
Kudos.
I just want to say quickly, shout out to the Giants for winning the series this weekend because they desperately needed that. They're a half game back of the wild card. The end of the season is going to get real interesting in the NL West, except the Dodgers seem to be running away with it. I think they're plus 169.
Yeah, we were just looking at that the other night.
Yeah, we were looking at that a couple nights ago. It was like 155. Now it's 169. The Yankees are plus 199 right now.
Yeah, and like Houston's right there.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's ridiculous.
It's crazy. Crazy, crazy. Can I do a quick player haters ball? You guys good with that?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, cool.
The player haters ball.
Oh man, hey.
Why you wanna play hate on me?
So it's happened, finally, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to report. I don't care. I just don't care anymore. I have officially given up on what you say about everything. It's just I don't have any more bandwidth. I cared about all these things, and what I realized is I just don't have the mental capacity to be on Instagram or Twitter. And by the way, Instagram hot take is becoming Facebook, and it's time we all switch platforms.
It really is.
It's becoming pretty watered down and garbage. But I don't care. The news is so terrible right now about just about everything that I just stopped caring. You know, I feel like I like to be on the side of the right side of history in general. And I realize lately I just don't have the same mental capacity to just, I just don't care. So much of what we see is like toxic.
Yeah, and watered down.
And just, watered down. You know? And it's like, oh, let's get the same tropes. Let's do this. Let's get someone from the far right. Let's get someone from the far left. Let's put microphones in front of them, and then let's talk abortion. That'll get us somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, listen, I hate to say it, but I have become apathetic to almost everything. I think for the first time in 2024, for the first time since I've been of age, I'm not going to vote because I just don't care. I think deep down I actually really care. But I just feel so beat down by...
It's exhausting is
it's
what
exhausting
it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's exhausting
to even have an opinion nowadays.
Yeah, because if you don't agree with someone, you're fired. You lost your job, everything.
Yeah.
You're done.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the idea of alternative facts have changed everything. Like, yeah, well, that's what you get. That's what you've heard. My news says different. If we can't agree on a set of facts, if we can't agree on a baseline that is based in facts,
yeah,
there is no conversation to be had. And until we could do that, we're just going to continue to yell at each other on TV, on social media. And it's all an echo chamber. I think most of us realize this, like most of the people we follow. Yeah. Think at least along the same lines as we do, or there's a few people we follow that think the polar opposite, and we literally follow them just to engage with them and have them ruin a day of ours. Like, I know a lot of people that hate follow people, and I will never understand that. I understand the concept as like on paper, but why would you ever do that?
Yeah.
I literally mute people in my life that say just ridiculous stuff on their social media.
Yeah, me too.
You know?
I'm like, you're out.
Yeah, I don't need you to flood my timeline. I don't need you to ruin my good time. I would rather, I will admit it, and I'm ready to just put my head in the sand. This election, oh my God. I don't even want to deal with any of it. Is there a way to filter out anything politically related in my life? Like, we can do it on a timeline, I believe. I would like to be able to take a pill and anything politically related for the next, I don't know,
vacuumed out
15, 20, 40 years of my life. I would just like it to be filtered out. Like, you remember Charlie Brown, the wah, 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 when talk? Yeah. I want one of those. Yeah. Or anytime someone brings up politics to me, and I'm just like, yeah, I don't care.
I mean, honestly, I forgot there is elections coming on this year. I haven't heard anything about politics. It's been great.
What are you doing? Tell me your ways, sir.
I've deleted all news apps. Okay. I have not watched any news media at all. It's been great. Only time I actually watch anything is sports. And when news comes up or politics comes up, mute. And I go and do dishes. And I'll come back. And by the time I'm back, everything's done. It's great.
Blissfully ignorant.
Honestly.
Yeah, 100%.
The thing that sucks is I don't know about a lot of the shootings. But at the same time.
What's bad about that?
No, I think that's good.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
You don't need to know about them to know that we don't care.
Yeah, no. Well, that's just that, but it's like,
I literally do not care. Kids are getting murdered. People are getting murdered on a regular basis. And we just don't care.
I wake up and I assume something's going to happen. I just like, all right, cool. It's going to happen. And I just go about my day because you know what? No one in the top is going to do anything about it. So why should I do anything
about
it?
But this is what I'm saying.
I've
gotten to a point where you are actively avoiding it.
I'm doing a great job of it.
I am just becoming so numb to it that I just, unfortunately, I no longer care.
Yeah. That's literally what I've been telling people, too. Like, I do not care.
Yeah.
Just give me my money.
Trump, Biden, I don't care.
Yeah, who cares?
I don't care. I'm just going to stay in my lane. I just don't care.
Because, let's break it down. Like, just even on that politics thing, just real quick. Like, people that are just, like, so gung-ho for one or the other or whatever, it's just like, man, you think you're ever going to meet these people?
You think they would even know who you are?
Hold up. I feel like this needs to be. You remember how we had the professional battle royale between them and like their critics?
Yeah, I need to
see the people that went off on Facebook battle royale in like a little cage match.
No, here's the deal. That's a terrible idea. that's a terrible idea.
Population control at that point.
Elon Musk will bring us back.
I think we'd all benefit from caring just slightly less. Maybe caring more about
bit more about the right things. Yes.
No, I just think maybe all of us, let's just tune it out a little bit because it's all really dumb.
Agreed.
Like, we're just shouting at one another. No one's talking. No. And nothing is changing.
Nothing's moving.
I always find it weird. The people that are so gung-ho about the person they would elect, that's like rooting for your high school principal. That's like idolizing your high school principal. Yeah, they do some stuff behind the scenes. But like, honestly, they don't have that much power. And they're just kind of there, right?
Gotta leave on that note.
You know what I'm saying? Well, that'd be like having a flag on your car that has your high school principal's name. It's just so dumb. If you're going to get that wrapped up in your political identity, like, I don't really want to talk to you. Yes.
Can I just bring this back to sports just for one sec?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. The show's almost over.
Back in 2012, the pitching staff for the Detroit Tigers, Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, Rick Porcello, Doug Fister, Drew Smyly, and Anibal Sanchez.
Man, dude.
Like, that was six guys.
Because Anibal Sanchez was pitching well, and Doug Fister, I believe, was pitching pretty good.
Anibal Sanchez, was he the one who got robbed of that?
No, that was Galarraga.
No, that's Galarraga. Yeah.
All right, good call.
So,
right. Man, that's
and that a, was the White a, Sox, not the.
No, he was with the Tigers.
Yeah, he was.
He was with the Tigers.
He was.
When that happened, I thought that was with the White. Okay.
No, he was with the Tigers.
No. All right. Well.
Okay. Well.
Good.
Those are your six starters for the.
That's a solid.
That's
man,
a solid
your stats
six.
Have actually been pretty decent.
Yeah,
today.
These are good ones today.
Yeah, way to turn it around.
Well, I mean, you give me a segment where I can actually bring in the stats. I haven't been able to do stats in a while, so you know.
I mean, you're the executive producer on the show. You could kind of get in where you fit in, do whatever you want. But whatever. It's been real, y'all. Derek should be back next week. Rudy might still be ducking his bookie, but if he's back, you know, that'll be fun. Meanwhile, check out the pod. It's been real. Peace.
Game over, man.
Peace.
Game over.
Thank you, Will. Appreciate you, bro.
Yeah.
Give me a sec, y'all.
Okay.
Can you feel the best?
Oh, yeah. So anyway, Satman Brad, not prepared.
Nope.
At
not
all.
At all.
Do you even know what you're looking for?
Actually, I am. It found it.